You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports.
I owe a great deal of gratitude to you, and I would like to think that part of the reason I started this podcast is because of the opportunities you've given me.
With Joshua Briscoe.
Cut that. Beard, you got that? That's a promo forever. We will use that. I will hold that over you for the rest of time. Whenever you launch off into the stratosphere and eventually eat Seth Kaiser, we will hold that and make sure that you continue to owe us this debt of gratitude.
On ESPN Kansas City.
We didn't talk to him last week, so it feels like it's been weeks and months and years since we've talked to Kent Swanson of Arrowhead Pride. He's called me the Kingmaker, but I call him a loyal subject worth ruling over. I think all that's fair and doesn't blow my ego out of proportion by any means whatsoever. You can follow him on Twitter at Kent_Swanson. Read all of this stuff at Arrowhead Pride. He's been working on building the offense for Patrick Mahomes, so you can bet that we will get to that here in just a moment. But first, a story that's gotten a little bit of national pickup here and there because it's a fun little story. Laurent Duvernay-Tardif graduated from med school while being a starting NFL offensive lineman. So, Kent, I ask you, what is your biggest comparable accomplishment?
Oh, comparable? Mm-hmm. I went to the doctor once. it was great. Beyond that, man, I'm a blogger, dude.
I like I'm a blogger dude as something that we can add to our rotation here. Just at any like pushback we get on any issue at all whatsoever for being not professional enough or literally any possible pushback for anything ever, I'm a blogger dude that's a pretty good retort. I like that.
Well, anything not professional on this show, you're going to be having to use that reference a lot.
Yeah.
I could probably be charging you for it. It's the reality.
That's probably true. All right, that's fine. You get me royalties on your career earnings as a blogger, and then I'll give you royalties every time we play that sounder.
You know what, Josh? Actually, you know, the bumper you just played into this this fine interview is kind of proof. I should probably just give it to you for free because, as I did mention here, I do owe you a great deal of gratitude for all of my accomplishments. I like to think that you are the engine that is driving this content machine. So you can have it for free.
Thank you. As you're doing that, Beards was making a digging motion as you continue to dig the hole even deeper for
just
you. That you'll never be
debt.
Able to,
digging the debt.
You'll never be able to escape this. I'll hold this over you for the rest of time. Whenever you're Kent Swanson, Chiefs insider on NFL Live at some point, I will be outside the studio in Bristol throwing tomatoes at the set.
I think it's funnier to feed your ego, so I'm going to continue to do that. I think it makes the show better. I think it makes our conversations that much better.
Agreed.
And I am still digging. So the Beards is probably rolling his eyes for that statement too now. So
well, and also at this point, like I'm so proficient in so many things, like radio, charity softball, professional soccer. Like, at this point, like I haven't found something that I'm not good at in so long that I feel like that's really the only way to go.
You are well on your way to being on an octuple threat, not just a triple,
ooh,
octuple.
That's good. I'm gonna assume that's eight. But you know what? Also, dropping an octuple, if that is how you pronounce it, maybe that's your new best accomplishment.
That at this point, it's the top of the list.
All right. I want to talk about this thing that I've wanted to talk to you about for like a month now. But every time we get in any direction other than talking about Patrick Mahomes, as if that's a huge problem for us, I end up losing this completely. So today, I am determined to talk to you about the offense that you are building for Patrick Mahomes.
That's fine. And, you know, it's just to talk Chiefs is quite an accomplishment at this point. But
yeah,
that's okay.
It really is. It's because at this point, see, I feel this pressure, you know, to be able to, especially whenever I'm over on Sports Night later and playing whatever happens after this, replaying it over there, I feel a pressure to have something that is vaguely sports-ish to play at night so I can live up to the name of the show. Living up to the name of this show that we're doing live right now is way easier for me. So that's the challenge.
Just a thought, Joshua. We can just start the conversation all right over real quick just now so you can have a perfect intro for sports night tonight.
I was already just planning on doing that. I figured I would have to do some sort of magic of editing to where it would just sound like it's how we plan. Like, and now we welcome in Kit Swanson, who talks about the Chiefs only, and I also only talk about sports at night here on Sports Night. I'll edit it together later. Or what I'll probably really do is say that we talked on almost entirely sports on ESPN Kansas City from 4 to 6 p.m., 94.5 FM and 1510 AM, and just get a full promo cut for myself while over on 810. That's probably how I'll fix this.
That's perfect.
Okay, can we talk about Patrick Mahomes now? I'm getting a little warm under the collar.
No, that's fine. Let's talk about our president. Here we go.
So good. Okay, so you've been working on this series for Arrowhead Pride about building an offense for Patrick Mahomes. Now, for me, the offense is just find a center that can get it to him and then have fast players run straight downfield. I would basically be running four verts every time, I think, with him. But you have determined to go ahead and really muddy up the waters and try to do some more specific, like, intelligent football things. And the two things you've written about so far are bringing in the RPOs, run pass options, and bringing in open formations. Let's start before that, though. Whenever you decided to tackle this as a series, what did you have in mind?
Well, the whole concept of the series in general, I was just looking at the things that they were able to do successfully with Mahomes in Week 17, that game that he got to play, and then also kind of looking through the archives of his time as a quarterback in college and kind of trying to incorporate as many different things that still could make sense, be functional at the NFL level, and just trying to meld both of them together to do a lot of things, basically, you know, put him in a comfort zone that will allow him to thrive, to develop, to grow, you know, with some things that he's comfortable with, mm-hmm. and also some tangible things to help him be successful. So it's just kind of looking at morphing and trying to piece together this thing so that, you know, it's things that, you know, he can be ultimately successful with relatively easy.
And I thought that he had a comment out of OTAs a few days ago. Someone asked him about how the offense is working, and he described it as a collaborative give and take process between him and Reed and Bieniemy and Kafka. Saying, you know, if there's something we think works or doesn't work, then we'd try it out. And like, it really, collaborative was the word that stuck with me, which is something. Just something that I thought was noteworthy. And also that I think some people had a fear about coming into the Mahomes era going, oh man, is Andy Reid going to make him Alex Smith? Which I thought was hugely overplayed. But hearing that from Mahomes was really settling for me. And it's something that I'm guessing you were going to see show up in your work here.
Yeah, I think you're dead on. You know, the reality is, in the reason that Andy Reid is so good is because he creates a culture of ownership, and he creates this collaborative effort that allows, you know, both of those, you know, both quarterback and coach to be in a situation where they're still comfortable putting and dialing up the plays that they're going to wind up calling on Sundays. And that's a credit to Andy Reid, mm-hmm. And it's also a credit to the effort and the time that Mahomes has put in to get to this point, right? Yeah. I mean, he's spent the last year, you know, doing everything. He's done everything so exceptionally well as far as handling this entire situation where, you know, he's the backup, but he's also working and growing and developing to push Alex Smith out the door. Mm-hmm. So this is just kind of this is an ultimate reward for Mahomes to, you know, kind of get finally, you know, some level of say and ownership in this process, and it's a reward, you know, that Andy can give him in turn too. So I think it's a great environment that they're working with. And the OTAs, they're a laboratory right now.
Yep.
That's really what we're looking at, is just trying to see what they can and can't do, and Reed will dial up the things that are gonna look the best on Sunday.
Okay, so let's talk about the things that you've built here. Let's start with the RPOs. Give us 30 seconds of what a run pass option looks like in the NFL, what it means. People don't know at all. I don't know. And then what you saw from Mahomes in college in Week 17 to make this a part of it, and then what you actually did.
Sure. The run pass option is pretty simple. It's a run or pass option.
That's wild.
It's life-changing, I know, but basically it's a designed run play that's called for the offensive line and the running back. And then the receivers are actually running route concepts. The quarterback has the choice to either hand the ball off for the run play that the offensive line's running, or run or throw one of the pass options that's available to him. And normally the pass concepts are quick because you don't want to get an illegal man downfield by the offensive line. Mm-hmm. But basically, it just puts defenses in a bind and forces them to play soundly across the board on every feasible option. It makes defenses have to stress and worry about simple run plays throughout the week because, you know, they might not necessarily be, you know, a simple zone run concept. It's not something that defenses are worrying about typically. Mm-hmm. They have to get their run fits correct, but now they're just adding additional elements that are going to put stress on them. So it's just a really cool, unique concept that's starting to become more in vogue in the NFL. The Chiefs had a lot of success with it last year.
And yeah, this was something that Alex Smith was great at, and something that made him look better. Is this something that you saw at Texas Tech with Mahomes, or just something that the Chiefs did last year that you liked?
Well, actually, when Mahomes was running the show in Week 17, they ran 23 of them and it sounds crazy, but it really it's true. It sounds more like a ridiculous number than it actually is. They mm-hmm. ran the play 23 times. They handed it off 15 times.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then most of the RPOs they ran were bubble routes, which means you'd have a three-receiver side with a bubble route,
mm-hmm.
and then you'd have a zone run play at the line. Mahomes elected to throw the ball 8 times in those RPOs, and they averaged 8 yards per attempt on bubble screens, which was 8.2, which actually would have led the NFL in yards per attempt in 2017.
Oh, man. Oh, that stats like that are the ones that are just like, they're such a small sample size, but they're so juicy. Oh,
it's so juicy. I know. I love it.
Sorry, I had to pause. I had to stop looking at my notes to point at Beards to have him mark that, because that's also, just stupendous. Okay, Kent, let's look at one other, you know what, other thing. Do you know how many plays the Chiefs ran in that Week 17 game off the top of your head, or ballpark?
Somewhere between like 60 and 65.
Do you think
61.
Okay, do you think it's reasonable for an offense to run half RPOs throughout a game, or is that something they were doing more of with Mahomes to just try to get him comfortable with that in Week 17?
Well, I think if you look at it in the scope of these are run plays that just happen to have a little pass mm-hmm. concept attached, I think that's not unreasonable at all.
No, it makes sense.
You know, the truth of the matter is those bubble screens are run plays with good numbers. I mean, what Mahomes is doing, one of the things is Mahomes is doing reading these run plays is just determining the best leverage he has on the field against the defense. And these are high percentage plays that basically are just, let's just call it an outside run, right? Mm-hmm. You know, just getting even number or getting good numbers in the run game / quick passing game to where, you know, it's essentially a run play. It's as effective, or it's probably more effective, but it's as easily executable as some of these run plays are. It's mm-hmm. making an easy decision based on the numbers that the defenses are presenting in the box and out of the box. And that's why you can run a lot of those at the same time without any issues.
So what's in your plan here then for Mahomes? Is it just doing those? Are there specific things a part of your system? What is it that you actually wrote about in that article that people can go read?
Sure. I think as far as the run game is concerned, about 67% of the run calls need to be the RPO. And then have another 10 that can incorporate, and basically the other 10 are to help keep everything else honest throughout, you know, personnel formations, all that stuff. You need to be able to show that you can do both. So 67% of the run plays that I'm dialing up are going to have some kind of bubble route or quick out route attached to the run play. The other 10 are used to obviously establish the run, but also to help set up other things and keep defenses honest throughout the offense. So that's where I am with like kind of the run stuff. And then the other thing we introduced was just throwing the ball out of empty personnel or empty formations, basically clearing out the backfield, having 5-man protections, and then slinging the ball about 6 times a game out of empty formation, something Patrick Mahomes is well familiar with.
So what does that look like then? What have you seen from that? Again, college tape, week 17 tape. You're doing this without any blocking help at all, just your five linemen, get it back to Mahomes, and then give him five options, right?
Basically. And I mean, the downside of running with five-man protections, obviously, is that there's only five of them. The benefit of going with empty looks where there's five receivers split out is that it's harder for defenses to disguise what they're trying to accomplish. It helps define everything in front of Mahomes, mm-hmm. so that it's going to be harder for them to disguise the pressure. So he'll be able to better anticipate some of the pressures, and it's going to be harder for defenses to try to confuse Mahomes with some exotic looks. Because if you're too exotic, you can get out of position very easily, as spread thin as you are in a five receiver kind of look. It doesn't have to be five receivers necessarily, just five guys out of the backfield, tight ends. That's the other thing, actually, is the other benefit. Just you could use 12 personnel with two tight ends or 22 personnel with two halfbacks and two tight ends,
mm-hmm.
But it's just a good way to help Patrick Mahomes do some of the things he's comfortable with that he's done in college with some of the concepts that they've done out of empty. He's familiar and comfortable with that concept, but also just help him, ease in and maybe help define. And, the play that we've seen on repeat a million times, which is like one of the most ridiculous throws in the first completion of the Pat Mahomes era, was out of empty.
Mm-hmm.
And it was one of the coolest things I've ever seen in my life from a quarterback.
And it makes a lot of sense from the angle, not just of is this a play that can be successful, but this is a play in a formation that can make the defense a little bit easier to read. It makes a lot of sense that you want to get Mahomes as much NFL defense information in front of him as early as you can, as often as you can, because that's the thing right now that I think is reasonable to expect a learning curve on. I don't know if there is an NFL throw that I don't expect Mahomes to make at this point. And I know that's a high expectation, and we're going to talk about why we don't need to slow the hype, something else you've written about. We're going to get to that in a minute. But that I know that it sounds like I'm a raging lunatic that can't help my obsession here. But as far as making NFL throws, I expect Patrick Mahomes to literally make all of them. And the footwork has never bothered me, not even in the pre-draft conversations. And the thing that I'm, if I have to be worried about something, the thing I guess I'm worried about is he's coming in with a year on the bench, one game under his belt. NFL defenses are going to try to create things that can knock him off balance figuratively, if not literally. This, as a way to combat that, makes a ton of sense.
Sure, and that's part of why we're incorporating it. The other thing, though, speaking to that, the defense is trying to do everything they can to kind of counter.
Mm-hmm.
What Andy Reid is so good at is helping mitigate some of that risk.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really where I'm not trying to take over the conversation, but you did mention, why the hype doesn't need to slow down. That's mm-hmm. part of it. It's just the environment that he is being dropped into with Andy Reid to allow him to grow and develop and to also help him get the most out of himself by managing, the responsibility, risk, stress that he's going to have to face. I mean, obviously he's going to face a ton, but mm-hmm. that Andy Reid in particular is just such a crucial part of this whole formula right now.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's something that I do feel like we've actually gotten to a point where because of the results and the way things have ended every season with Alex Smith, I think there's actually a bit of the fan base that sees Andy Reid as being in some ways a hindrance, not a net negative by any means, but hindering Alex Smith in some way, not trusting him to go deep, or a hindrance as a guy who throws it too often, or a hindrance as a guy who isn't risky enough, or any number of ways. And I think because of that, because of the negative moments that stick, we lose all of the reasons that Andy Reid is the perfect guy to have bringing essentially a rookie quarterback along. I think that's a great point. Is that the biggest thing that you think we're underrating as far as what could limit Mahomes?
Well, Yeah, I mean,
I guess what won't limit Mahomes is the better way to phrase that.
Yeah, no, I think that's a huge piece of why we should be confident and comfortable with what Patrick Mahomes is going to bring to the table this year. But I think there's a lot about him as a athlete, as a person, as a player, all the intangible stuff that doesn't get talked about too much. The fact that he spent, you know, half of his life in a professional locker room, seeing the work that is required of great players to do what they go out to do, seeing Alex Rodriguez hit off a tee, doing all that stuff that no one sees, having a good, strong support system with his godfather, LaTroy Hawkins, and his dad. And then you take into the fact, like, he's got this background that understands what it takes, but he also has rare talent on the field that requires development and work and needs to be refined. But if you watch the growth process from preseason to week 17, it was remarkable. It was a remarkable growth and development, you know, process that he went through. I think, you know, you can tell when a guy has put in the work, and you can tell when a guy has made great strides, and you can tell that it was done with, you know, the right mentality and process. And I think you see that with Pat. You see that he is, you know, gone about things the right way in about every regard you possibly could. He's got people in and out of the building holding him accountable to that. I just don't see a route where he doesn't have some level of success in this league, and it could be a level of success that we've never seen in Kansas City.
It's a really good soundbite. Two things on that I think are worth following up on. The thing about the intangibles is really interesting, because I think we see intangibles get discussed whenever something is either going really badly or before they ever see the field. So in the draft evaluation process, and is this guy ready yet? But after guys play, I think we usually stop talking about intangibles, even whenever it's going well. Like, I don't know, do people think that Tom Brady has great intangibles? Ooh, now he's got some tension with the organization. I don't know. We don't really use that word very often, even for the successful guys. So seeing it as a positive at this point after a game out there, and we start to get a feel for what it's going to be, I think it's a really good call by you, because otherwise that's not going to get talked about very much. But the last thing you said there, that's when I think there are some Chiefs fans that are just so beaten down and so cynical, and I would count myself among those people for basically everything except for Mahomes at this point. That I think that makes some of us queasy, because we could see success at an unforeseen level in this city. That's something I think that most people actually would agree with, that the ceiling is higher than anything we've ever seen in Kansas City, at least. But the idea that you can't really see the failure, you can't see him not having at least some level of success, I think that terrifies people. I'm afraid to say it out loud, but I agree with you. I think that's the atmosphere around it right now, is even those of us who agree with that are terrified to say it out loud.
Sure. And we come by this honestly as a city, right?
Yes.
I mean, we really do. We've been through a lot when it comes to this football team and the quarterback position.
Mm-hmm.
And the truth of the matter is, we are in unfamiliar territory as a city.
Mm-hmm.
We have not had or seen a franchise potential quarterback, a first-round quarterback, in most of our lifetime.
Yep.
So it is. I understand people's, you know, concern and fear and the stress that it is inevitably going to put on some people. But this is enjoy the ride.
Mm-hmm.
Have fun with this. This is the great experiment we've been waiting for as a city. We're finally seeing it. It's not always going to be pretty. I know I'm already preparing for talking people off the ledge the first game that Pat Mahomes has that he struggles. And I might be part of the problem, but I think for me personally, I understand, like, it's going to happen. But he's the kind of player that I think will respond well to the issues and the struggles and the inevitable developmental process that he's got to go through, which includes failure.
I completely with you on that. Let me ask it in this way. Don't give me stat lines and stuff to this. That doesn't really matter to me very much. But let's say we wrap up week 17, or maybe for this situation, there's no playoffs. I'm assuming we wrap up week 17, and we look back of this season of Patrick Mahomes, and the way that we start the sentence is, well, yeah, this season was a disappointment by and large. What does that look like for you? Not the number. I don't need 14 touchdowns and 20 picks, but like what would be the thing that you think would play the most into a disappointing season?
Sure. I think there's a few things you can look at. If he's putting the ball at risk, not necessarily interception numbers, but if there are just moments of inexplicable risk that he's put the ball in. Mm-hmm. If he is not handling pressure well, if he is if he's panicking at the line of scrimmage, or in the mm-hmm. pocket when he's trying, when he's trying to deliver a football and it's actually affecting his throws. Mm-hmm. And then, I would like to see. I think by week 17 he should be playing. At times, actually, I'll just tease a little bit. One of the things I want to see incorporated in this offense is the offense to play with a little tempo, a little bit no mm-hmm. huddle. It requires some command of the offense and some command of that huddle and command of the game. I think it'd be cool to see him handed a little bit of that over as the season progresses to help him in his developmental process, but also, the potential to just completely destroy and exploit some personal mismatches that he can take with some kind of up-tempo look. If he's not doing some of that stuff, if he's not getting some of that autonomy, I think you look and say, okay, they either didn't feel comfortable putting the training wheels off, or Andy just really wanted to continue to control the game. But there's just those are some things that I think, if you see some of that stuff, you're a little bit maybe not scared of the outcome, but you're starting to perk your ears up a little bit and say, okay, these are obvious places for growth moving forward.
I think those are all fantastic, because the handling pressure thing, if he starts to get jittery, if he gets happy feet in a way that's not the way that is a part of his game, but he starts, if his eye level ever starts regressing or whatever, that's a good call. But also I'm going to kind of put that one to the side, because right now he's handling pressure well. So some sort of major regression would obviously be concerning. The other things are great. Putting the ball at risk is something that I expect to see. So if he's doing that at an alarming clip, or he's doing that with mostly negative results, then of course that's worrisome. The tempo thing, I think, is your best piece of that that I haven't heard anyone else talk about that makes a ton of sense because of the potential reasons. The idea of the tempo increasing throughout the year, it's fantastic. Has to be a part of it. Great call. The reasons that it might not happen, also both terrifying. These are two things that I am actually worried about now. Either that the Chiefs or Andy Reid didn't feel like they could take the training wheels fully off of him, or that Reid wanted to maintain control on a level that ultimately ends up punishing the team on a tempo basis. I think both of those things are like in the uncanny valley of this set of worries. Like, it's realistic enough that I am actually afraid of it. It's a little bit eerie. Strangely, both of those things are probably more about Andy Reid than Patrick Mahomes, and I don't know how I feel about that.
Yeah, I get you. But the truth of the matter is, though, and this is not me, I'm not trying to backtrack or anything, mm-hmm. I don't foresee a scenario where he fails so completely that either of those things really happen, where they don't trust him. And the other thing is, honestly, with what Andy Reid does, and this, I'll just add this, if we don't see, some dynamic changes to the offense as the season goes on, if he doesn't keep building off of it, if we don't see Patrick Mahomes continuing to build off of that and actually Andy Reid building off of what they're doing, mm-hmm. that's a little bit of an alarm too, because yeah. They want to make sure that they're, not putting too much on his plate. They want to make sure that he's executing the things that they want him to do at a base level well enough. Those are other little indicators that might be, kind of something to keep an eye on as well.
I also just wrote on my little notepad here that I'm sure will be really confusing for someone eventually. I just wrote the word leash because in this context, I think that's the thing that is a viable concern. Maybe I'm more worried on that level than you are, because I could see Mahomes having a good, successful first-year starter campaign and still see Andy Reid holding Mahomes on a shorter leash than we would like to see him have. And that could be Reid having an accurate read, R-E-A-D on that one, Reid having an accurate read on what Mahomes is and seeing that he's not ready to be fully taken off that leash, or it could be Reid getting nervous about, you know, if I let him go too far, when does he freestyle outside of my offense and all of that. But that's the word that I think is going to stick as a concern.
You know, I understand what you're saying. I will say I don't think Andy Reid has the ego that a lot of coaches have, and I think that's part of the reason that he's such a good developer of quarterbacks.
Mm-hmm.
But also why he's giving so much freedom and say in what the offense is going to be under Mahomes. The other thing, I don't think Andy Reid's scared. I think he attacked. I think he attacked 2017 with everything he had. He understood exactly why the Chiefs weren't successful in 2016 in the playoffs, and he changed Alex Smith's approach to the game and what he was dialing up to be aggressive downfield. And also, he drafted Alex Smith's replacement,
right,
who is the antithesis of Alex Smith.
Yes.
I don't think it's going to be a lack of fear, a lack of control. I think in regard to just not wanting to give it up, I think Reid has the ego, or doesn't have the ego, of a guy that wants to control everything. I think he has any measures he's taking to keep Mahomes on a leash. It's because he genuinely thinks he needs to be on one.
Yes, and so
I think.
Go ahead.
Oh, go. Sorry. No, you're good. You're good.
I agree to that's one of the. I have a little bit of the concern still on the control as an ego thing, because the reasonable questions about the ego and control existed before last year's draft. Now, whenever he drafted Patrick Mahomes, I became a part of the group immediately saying, this is a move that he made because he wants to build an offense for Patrick Mahomes, not because he wants to shoehorn Patrick Mahomes into the Alex Smith offense. If he wanted that, they would have taken Deshaun Watson. That comparison was there, and that would have been even easier. So I think that you're on board on the right level with you know, the control of the offense, or the ego of it being the Andy Reid offense or whatever. That's something I worry about less in the sort of post-drafting Mahomes era.
Yeah, and you got to remember, the clock's ticking on Andy Reid.
Yeah.
Not necessarily in a his job's on the line, but, I mean, he's not getting any younger, and he hasn't won that title. So what better way to go down swinging than with a guy whose ceiling is ridiculous like a young Patrick Mahomes?
This is, like, tangential to this conversation, and we haven't talked about it yet here. But did you see that Andy Reid's going to do some fundraising speaking events for the governor of Kansas?
Yeah, he's just like he doesn't care anymore. He's got senioritis. He's starting to push the envelope a little bit over there.
Yeah. So, like, I think that kind of matters. Like, I think that's interesting. On a sports level, and it also, you know, on, like, what's Andy Reid doing, he's been very apolitical, and he didn't want to talk about the national anthem stuff, all that. Those are all things that I'll monologue about until people get annoyed and turn off the radios. But from this, like, this drafting Mahomes, bleep it, throw it to the wind, you know, clock is ticking and everything, I think that this plays into it, because, like, the guy that he's endorsing is not, Chris Kobach, but it's also not like a completely squeaky clean, like, basically, I don't know, like, John Kasich candidate that you can make it, like, anyone can, like, respect it. There's some controversy here, especially on a recent story. Andy Reid going out and just going, like, yeah, bleep it. I'll come speak at your fundraiser. I think it plays into that attitude that we're talking about. I think that's really interesting.
You're probably right, man. I mean, it's just he's so he's slowly kind of stopping to care about the external stuff, and he's really just shooting for, you know, what he wants, and, you know, it might be extending outside of the football field.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's interesting. All right, Kent, it's always great to talk to you. I know that this time we ended up actually talking about the Chiefs, which I'm sure will just be devastating to some of our loyalists, but I enjoyed it nonetheless.
Yeah, buddy. Thanks for having me on, as always.
Absolutely. Thanks. You have something coming out soon on Arrowhead Pride or any timeline, or want to tease your next topic?
Yeah, sure. Two things. Real quick, yeah.
Two things is a lot. I said one. Fine,
I'm
two.
I'm pushing the envelope.
Go ahead, Coach.
I gave you a royalty-free tagline. I've got another lottery ticket piece coming up on Arian Springs, a guy I'm really intrigued on. And also, I'm just flat out, we've got some exceptional content across the board at Arrowhead Pride. We just brought on another film guy named Matt Lane, who's going to do an exceptional job. We've got a lot of really cool stuff going on in Arrowhead Pride.
I'm talking to Matt on Sports Night tonight.
Perfect. That's awesome.
I'm continuing to try to just latch on to every film review person that ever moved through Arrowhead Pride, so on some level, I can continue to claim to be their kingmaker.
I think that's a good market inefficiency you're attacking.
I think it is. I love a good market inefficiency. All right, Kent, we'll talk to you again next time.
All right, thanks, bud.
Kent Swanson, Kent_Swanson on Twitter, writes everything for Arrowhead Pride, just gave you all those teases all around. Fun dude. I was going to say good guy, but I don't, like, listen, I don't know him that personally. I like talking to him. Oh, good. He's off the line. He sucks.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports.
I have a millennial-sized attention span.
With Joshua Briscoe.
Because there's still a naked baby on the microphone across from me.
On ESPN Kansas City.
So that thing we touched on there with Kent, about Andy Reid. The story is interesting, you guys. I know that someone will show up in my mentions at some point saying something about politics and how they're bad for business or whatever. I could talk about Roseanne getting canceled. I could do that happily. I could do that and crush it for like an hour. And I'm not. So you count your damn blessings, okay? I'm glad it got canceled. What? Who said that? All right, leave me alone.
Somebody's coming over to shush us.
Leave me alone. Andy Reid has gotten into the world of politics. He's not running for Senate or anything, but he... Actually, Beards, can we read the internet? I got to start off by giving you the context here. I want to just give you a couple paragraphs from an article in the Kansas City Star a few days ago about this, and then I'll give you any number of things you can take away from it. But first, here's the context.
And now, Josh reads the internet.
It's from the Kansas City Star. The coach of the Kansas City Chiefs is pitching in to help Governor Jeff Collier's campaign for governor. Collier's campaign announced Friday afternoon that Andy Reid will join him at two events on June 4th in Wichita and on June 6th in Mission Hills. Collier, who took over the state's executive office in late January after Governor Sam Brownback joined President Donald Trump's administration, is running against Kansas Secretary of State Chris Kobach, Insurance Commissioner Ken Seltzer, and former nominee Jim Barnett for the Republican nomination. Add parenthetically, here's the Cliff's Notes. Current sitting governor took over when Brownback went to work with Trump, running against other Republican nominees for governor of Kansas. Back to the text. Tickets for the event start at $500 each. More extravagant packages range from $1,000 to $4,000. The $4,000 package includes four tickets to a VIP reception with a photo opportunity. Jim Barnett, a Topeka director and former GOP nominee running against Collier for governor, criticized Reid's involvement with the race in the race with a statement. He also took issue with the Chiefs coach making the move after Collier signed an adoption bill that will allow faith-based adoption agencies to reject gay and lesbian couples. That's with for placement of kids that need to be adopted. Quote, I call upon Coach Reid to withdraw support of Governor Collier or any other candidate for the governor, Barnett said. It just seems inappropriate for the Kansas City Chiefs to become involved in a political campaign for a candidate who has just signed into law one of the most discriminatory pieces of legislation in recent memory. That's the context you need. So that's the extent of our reading the internet. So that piece of legislation is important because that is something that creates immediate backlash. It allows, again, faith-based adoption agencies to reject gay and lesbian couples from adopting children. We might tackle that in a minute, just with my experience and everything. Maybe we'll get there. Maybe we won't. I don't know. But that matters because that's the thing attached right now to the candidate that Andy Reid is going to fundraise for. And, oh man, there are probably some people who just, like, at their core don't like me, who are listening right now, who are just waiting for me to step on a landmine that I have previously planted, and I will not.
Mostly me.
Listen, your dislike of me has very little to do with what I think about sports and politics.
Also fair.
Your dislike of me mostly stems in the fact that I have my eyes open. I know that LeBron's better than Jordan. It's a joke. I don't even talk about it. That was a joke. I don't care. I don't care who you think is better. I don't care who I think is better. Doesn't matter.
Bill Russell.
Oh! So allow me to say the thing that keeps me from stepping on a landmine here. Because I can hear someone's chainsaw revving up right now. I am cool with sports figures using their platforms. I've been on that boat since before I had a radio show, since before I had a podcast, since as soon as I cared about politics and sports as an adult. I am cool with sports figures using their platforms. I really am. Andy Reid doing that is very interesting because he's been very politically quiet, and I find that change of pace being noteworthy. Also, as we touched on briefly there with Kent, I think it's an interesting thing that coincides with a new era of Andy Reid as a football coach. But now Andy Reid has opened himself up to a new thing. Whenever the NFL passed their new rules about the national anthem, they said, we're not going to talk about that. So we could talk about that in the house. He said, none of your beeswax. Not precisely in those words, but more or less. Now Andy Reid, I would say will, I'm going to actually say should, have to deal with questions about Collier and probably questions about the decisions that he's making. And I assume that Andy Reid's going to decline to comment on any of those things at OTAs, at training camp, whatever. I also think that there's a good chance that most people who are out there asking questions will not bring up Andy Reid's politics. I'll probably be out at training camp at some point. I'll probably be there for an Andy Reid press conference. Will I ask Andy Reid about if he thinks that gay couples should be allowed to adopt kids? I'm probably not going to, because NFL PR is prickly. And I'm not out there every day. Maybe Sam Ehlinger can ask him about it, because Sam's not going to get his credentials revoked for asking a question about a public statement that Andy Reid has made. But I'm probably not going to do that, even though I think that'd be tremendously interesting. Also, maybe that's not the setting. I'd rather have that conversation with him with something that's not quite so hostile as these little pressers can be, but I don't know. I feel like I'm not in a place where, like, I hope Sam asks at some point, but I think it has to be someone who's been there a long time and been there a lot. But I also won't, freak out and call the media who are out there cowards for not asking Reid about it, because I don't know that I would. I'd like to, but I don't know if I would. Regardless, though, if you are out here making statements and going to fundraisers, speaking at fundraisers and doing photo ops to raise money for a candidate, etc., if you are using your sports-based platform to make political statements, you should be prepared for follow-up questions to that. So Andy Reid shouldn't hide behind Chiefs PR. He shouldn't decline to answer questions whenever he's asked about those things. He should answer them because that's what he's inviting with his platform. This is something where I think Marcus Peters gave himself a similar problem. Again, I imagine that someone's chainsaw is revving up right now. I'm saying that as much as I love Marcus Peters, I think he did a poor job at this same thing. Because as Peters protested during the national anthem in a number of ways, if I remember correctly, he went quite a while without discussing it. eventually, there were a couple really good articles that I think were from Therese Paylor of different things that Peters was doing in the community and what he was, you know, sitting for or not standing for, or raising his fist for, or whatever. But by not being out there at the forefront of the protest to say, this is what I am protesting, this is what I am not protesting, by failing to do that right at the front end, that harmed his cause. Now, Peters did at least have the setup to where he could at least let us assume that he was just following Colin Kaepernick's lead, saying, I'm taking the same posture or a similar posture to what Colin Kaepernick was doing, so you can assume that I'm following in his footsteps. He had that. Andy Reid doesn't even have that because he's out here fundraising for a specific candidate. If you're going to fundraise for a specific candidate, you're going to eventually have to answer for some of that candidate's politics. I don't know if Andy Reid ever will, but he probably should. He definitely should. He should be prepared for that. Again, I don't know that he will be, but I wish he would be, I guess is the best way that I can frame that. I think it's really interesting, though. I don't know if you heard. I haven't played it on this show. I don't know if you heard his response whenever he was asked about the anthem policy, but it was just bristly. It was gruff. I'm not going to talk about it. In-house. It's an interesting thing to have juxtaposed with him picking a candidate for governor and going to do some fundraising for it. I think it's interesting. Oh, here comes the chainsaw.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
Beetlejuice, 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 Kaepernick, Kaepernick, Kaepernick.
On 1510 AM, 94.5 FM, and the ESPN Kansas City Facebook page.
I really like that line. It always makes me laugh. See, I think the chainsaws that I'm waiting for are from people that thought I was going to criticize Andy Reid. I don't feel the need to criticize Andy Reid. I legitimately am cool with using your sports platform to make what you think is political good. But I think you should also be ready to answer follow-up questions. Kaepernick answered a lot of those. And people still are like, well, what does he mean? Does he hate the military? No, I don't. My actual reason for... The flag! All right, now let's talk about Roseanne. Oh, we only have a minute left. Darn. Also, what is that face, Beards?
Mine.
Why was your hand over here? Were you scratching your elbow or something?
Yeah.
Okay. I just looked up and your left arm was across your body and your hand was up by your right ear. And I was just like, why is Beards playing like, I don't know, Atmosphere Twister? Like, oh, did I say something that made Beard start to collapse into contortions? Okay, I'm glad now that you're okay. Hey, here's a nonsensical thing that's really unrelated, but I just saw it on Twitter again, so I thought I'd mention it. I started a non-sports podcast last week called Santa Isn't Real and Other Things Nobody Told Us About Adulthood. Sorry, spoiler alert.
Whoa!
And we're taking questions for our next show if you want to do that. You can tweet them at me or at Santa Isn't or with hashtag S-I-R pod, Sir Pod. If you have questions about non-sports related things. We're not going to replay the best of it over here, but that's something else that I'm doing that's kind of fun that maybe you can check out. Also, if you like that Kent interview a lot, you can turn over to Sports Night here in a little while. I'll be over there tonight for the whole show. And we're also going to talk with Matt Lane, who is at Chief in Carolina, about Eric Fisher. Also, if that goes well, you might hear it again over here tomorrow. Listen, this is all big old spiderweb, okay? We are cannibalizing ourselves, but the good news is you can hear my voice in more places, which is legitimately the only thing I care about. All right, good talk. Bye, Mom!
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe on ESPN Kansas City.